This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is problematic at this point in time for young people to be stressed about the finances in terms of where those finances are going to come from for them to be able to not spend a year at home, but they're able to just start crafting their lives where that is concerned. So 0861 987 000, that's our dial this morning, and let's start the show together, and let's push it until 3 o'clock. I'm starting the second hour of the show, that is until 3 o'clock, and of course remember that also in the second hour, in the third hour, the last hour of the show, I have two guests and we'll be threshing issues out, issues of national importance. So Sandile, it's been a while. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kato, and good morning to Power 97 listeners. Yes, indeed, yeah. It has been a while.
I'm looking at your seat. I'm like, could have been speaking to this guy when he'll be here across me, and we'll be switching the mic on and off.
Yes, I do miss those days.
No, you're welcome, man. And I'm glad that you're joining us this morning, because this is a very important conversation, especially around this time when the academic year is getting underway.
True that, and I do believe that first years, all prospective students are tuning in.
Awesome. Let's talk to Mafule Moswane. Mafule, the last time we spoke, it was last year. I know we speak on the phone in terms of the social media spaces and the likes, but on this platform, we last saw you last year. How are you? How have you been? And how's the new year treating you?
Good morning, Katero. Good morning, Sandile. Good morning to all the listeners at home. The new year is wonderful so far, and I'm excited about it to see how it unfolds. And I'm delighted to form part of the conversation of national importance, continental relevance, and global significance.
Hey, repeat that. National importance. We are learning on this show.
National importance. Continental relevance and global significance, hey, in a nutshell.
And that's the power zone right there. That's the power zone. Just put power zone next to that statement and we're good to go.
Definitely.
No, it's lovely to have you on, my brother, as well. And I guess maybe let me start by asking the both of you, in your first year, when you found that you passed matric, did you immediately get stressed around how you're going to navigate this space, around how it's going to fare, around you having to leave home and start a new life elsewhere? Or it was just excitement around the fact that I passed and I've always wanted to move maybe from one province to the next in terms of furthering my studies? Sandile, were you worried? Were you scared? And you're tiny, when I'm sure you were like, oh my God. And you're tiny in your final year. So again, imagine in your first year, Lohor, actually, how were you faring? Really, how was it for you?
Well, I just want to say, with me, it was a thing of, I needed, me going to Potchefstroom, Northwest Province, I needed a break from the busy life of Gauteng, you know? So as a young lad who has spent like most of his life into this province and everything's just like up and running, so I needed a break from this up and running province. So when I got there, I didn't have much expectations, but it was a thing of, it was a culture shock. It was really a culture shock because I didn't expect much to or much about Potchefstroom because I knew less about the province. And of course, the culture shock comes with anxiety. It comes with stress because now you have, you're surrounded by all these big rugby players, as you said, like I'm tiny. I'm surrounded by all these big rugby players and then all these big white boys in school and also and everything. So it was another thing that was a culture shock was a thing of, I'm from Pretoria. Well, I'm not mostly surrounded by different races and everything. And then when I got to Potchefstroom, I firstly got exposed to all the different races that we have in the diverse country. And adjusting was not easy. It was really, hectic for me to just to adjust to the space. And yeah, it just came, it was a lot, it was stressful, I don't want to lie. But then I managed to maneuver through it.
Nice. Amafule, you're an academic and you're one person that continues to want to study even further and further and further. And you at some point even had an opportunity to go overseas and experience that life in terms of, you know, where the academics had taken you. But let's talk about your first year. First year, not first year after having done a first year somewhere else. But your first year in varsity when you were leaving your home. Let's start with when you got your results. Were you really skeptical, scared around where you would find yourself, or you really were resolute from a trick to say that I have won like all of these institutions, UCT, VITS, and this is where I would like to find myself. The results must just come through in a way that it would be satisfactory for me to go to this institution of my choice. Were you skeptical? Were you scared? Were you excited about it? Were you anxious? What was going through your mind?
Thank you so much, Katlego. For me, it was absolute excitement the time I received my matric results. I was the top student of our school out of about 129 learners. So they even woke me up with calls and messages on that morning. And I was fortunate also to get a bursary because of being a top student, by virtue of being a top student. Then for GCRA, Gauteng City Region Academy, I was accepted both at UCT and Fets University. And because I had not been in a plane, I wanted to go to UCT. But so things changed. Initially, the first choice has always been VET, but I was looking forward to being on a plane, you know, so that I can go to a different place. So I went to VET. It was beautiful. But I think when things started in the first year, like Sandile said, there was a huge culture shock. So in my class, remember, I come from a township school in Watville, Benoni, where I had never been taught by a white person. Now I'm one of the few black people and all my lecturers are white. And for the first time also, I have to submit my assignments having typed them. And I never owned a laptop before. So you can imagine that you have an assignment that is due in a week or two. And you have touched a computer, you have seen it, but you have never done an assignment using it. So I think, you know, the lack of technological capital and also not having people in the campus that you know that you could reach out to for help. So those transitional challenges were a lot for me because I felt like, why am I going through these things? Why was I not prepared? Because I'm a first-generation student, so I'm the first in my family to get the university degree. So you could see, so I was experiencing a lot of firsts all the time. But fortunate, I think, which I would like to share with prospective students, students who are studying their first year in 2023, is that they should reach out for help in many communities that exist within the university environment. It could be religious societies, it could be political societies, it could be non-profit societies, as your faculty of first advisory, and many others, because there they can find support and mentorship to make progress in the university environment. And just to wrap it up for this point, my experiences alongside other many young people who were connected to me are what led us to start an organization that would later support other students, because we felt like this is not how we should go about life. We shouldn't be suffering like this, and our fellow brothers and sisters should not go through what we went through. In a nutshell.
Well, with me, it was, I've always wanted to study further, right? In my matric, I think in grade 11 already, I had identified Rhodes University. I was like, I'm going to Rhodes. I think there was Nelson Mandela University as well that was in the whole feature. There was UCT, University of Johannesburg, anything that would get me out of Limpopo and see me move further and further away from the province. It was not that I don't love my province. I love my province. It's just I wanted an experience, all right? I wanted to, I wanted to be on TV. I used to watch your TV growing up, and I'd ask myself, how did these young people get there? You know, how did they get there? I'd love to see myself there. So that's when I started crafting, this whole plans to say that I'm going to pass well, and I'm going to make sure that I get out of the province and go seek opportunities elsewhere. So the world landed me in Soshanguve at the Tshwane University of Technology, the journalism school there. And for me, it was the only challenge was the cooking part. Staying Kores, that was the shock for me to say that at home, you're used to being cooked for. Everything was just done for you. Now, at night, I have to think about food. I have to think, you know, those things that I didn't worry about, when growing up, now I had to worry about them. I had to be an adult so quick. It was like a flip side, you know, where now all of a sudden I can't even say when I'm, you know, in trouble and reach out to someone quickly. It was that distance and the likes, and which was something that I was cautioned about by my parents. They didn't want me to really go further away from home. They wanted me to study Go University of Limpopo. And I was like, no, I didn't even apply Go University of Limpopo. I remember my mom asking me, so about Go University of Limpopo? I was like, no, they'll respond. I didn't apply at all. But then they cautioned me to say, if you go further away from home, you're going to be alone. And it didn't register that I actually am going to be alone. Until the first term, I went home. I had lost so much weight. Like literally lost so much weight. I had attempted to do the dreadlocks. So it was just a shock also for my parents to say, dude, you're not coping. Are you aware that you're not coping? Look at you now. You know what I mean? And from there, I had to like pull up my socks. I had to convince them that no, actually I'm okay, because I was busy telling them no, I'm good. But when I'm around my Zulu, about to hear, when I'm pulling, you know, I'm okay. So that was the shock for me. But then eventually, I have family in Soshanguve. Then eventually I would visit them more often, you know. I would gain my independence. I would grow into this fine young man who knew what he was doing, who knew that you are here for journalism, you're at a journalism school, you need to craft your way up. You've always seen those people on TV. You need to work to find yourself there. I pushed and here we are. But it was a shock for me. Culturally, so I wasn't really shocked by the culture there, because Kikokasi, and again, it was just that thing, the independence, that was a little bit of a struggle. Then when do you actually then break out of all of this and then find yourself? You've mentioned, Mafule, that you started this organization because you wanted to create a support levels of mentorship and the likes. Do you branch out in maybe probably finding like-minded people? Because I think for me as well, another thing that helped me was joining SCO, right? University. City. Joined church. I joined SCO. It was where I found meaning. And me and Tumi actually used to be in the same debate team. Hey, can you believe it? Tumi, Denzel's producer. So it was just the thing that life that would always, like, you know, play itself out the way it will play itself out. So how do you branch out? Is it does it help for you then to find a meaning in terms of maybe something that you like? You join sporting activities, or you join some extramural activity that would help you to get settled and for you to look forward to each and every day there in varsity? Sandile?
Well, I guess with me, I could say, well, my first year was 2021, COVID. Mm. So everything was just full on contact, right? Mm. So we didn't have like much to do. But fortunately, I had fellowship, which was, I remember some days we used to steal ourselves and have contact sessions. Because sometimes, you know, the online thing doesn't really work. And it like limits certain things. So, like I said, sometimes we would still ourselves have like mini contact sessions with a mask on and everything. But I think I started developing or finding the Sandile University in my second year, because that's when I started to get exposed to what exactly varsity has to offer for me. That's when I started to branch into student leadership, and I found myself falling in love with student leadership and what student leadership has to offer. For instance, helping students to register, like now since students are busy with registration, helping students to find accommodation when they're struggling with accommodation, helping students to actually be in varsity and not go through the same struggles that we went through during our COVID times. That was me trying to redefine myself and finding a space within the varsity space. And also church played a massive role into that, because also sometimes you know with like COVID, like I said, you tend to like lose hope and relax in life and just say, nah, we're gonna live like this, or we're gonna wear masks for the rest of our lives. But then with our weekly meetings and weekly gathering, it also helped in me ensuring that I stay in tune with reality and I stay in tune with myself and not lose myself along the line. Because also you get exposed to all these different energies and these different environments and all these kind of people, especially when you're into student leadership, you get attacked for some things. I also once at some point got attacked by a group, as tiny as I am, I got attacked by a large number of people in the middle of the night on campus. And it was the most traumatic thing ever. But then you learn to bounce back from that through church, and church really did play a massive role into me and really staying in tune and not forgetting my ways. Because also when you're in varsity, you tend to forget your ways, because you see these people are going to parties every weekend, not studying and doing all, living this nice life, buying clothes on credit and all of this life. So Loena, you want to get the taste of that experience. You want to see if you really fit in there. And along the way, you lose yourself and you forget your situation and why are you really at varsity. So I guess with me, student leadership and really helping students and ensuring that students don't go through the same trials and tribulations that I went through or some of my friends went through when they tried to enter into varsity, really helped in me finding myself and really also not losing myself along the journey.
Mafule, how was it let me throw it to you. In terms of the associations, do you gravitate towards the like-minded people for you to be able to enjoy that space? Really let us in on what pushed you to start the organization in terms of where we find ourselves right now. I mean, the Faculty for Best Advisory, I'm not sure if it's, you said it's how many years old?
This year is 11 years.
Look at you. So over 10 years ago, you started this organization. What prompted you? What pushed you to really make sure as well that it stands the test of time?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I think we realized then when we are at university, for example, we will learn about the possibilities of someone being kicked out of the university for plagiarizing, which is the fancy word of saying someone copied, and if to the level of extent they have copied, they could potentially be kicked out of the university and live without a degree. As one example of the things that we learn when we are at university. right, that someone can forfeit a degree and their future entirely based on something like that, that they just learning about for the first time at university. We also learned about academic exclusion, that if someone fails over 75% of their courses, they could be kicked out of the university, and they have to appeal a case. And we asked ourselves to say, how do we prevent those things? Or if those cases happen, how does FBA intervene? But beyond that, how does FBA connect someone who's in second year or third year to a first year, so that they can walk with them the journey and support them educationally and emotionally? So there were a number of reasons, but the whole idea was to build a community of people who will be there for each other and help each other achieve excellence and greatness. And the whole idea really was to help people move forward. Yeah. When we started, we were in our first year and second year of studies. We were unclear and unsure, but we had the spirit of service, you know. And there were also a lot of issues around campus, you know, protests, and we were saying what could be the long-term solutions for all these kind of issues that are arising within campus that are affecting students. Then the organization was initiated, and at this point an hour, there is representation in all 26 public universities of South Africa, and of course many other institutions outside of South Africa across the world. So we have made a bit of progress, and we hope that over time we'll grow and offer more support to students, you know, and really transform their lives and help, in, of course, address the complex challenges, fight poverty, inequality, and unemployment in the long run. But to your point, Katleo, and thank you, Sandile, also for weighing in and contributing to so much great points. For me, I gravitated to people who were in sporting activities. I played soccer. I belonged to religious community. I belonged to political community. And I also fell in love. So I experienced a holistic life at university. And for me, university experience remains by far the best experience of my life yet, you know. And because it was fun and it was full of pain and joy. I experienced complexities at the highest level. And the friends I made at first year, today they are my business partners. You know, some of them own big companies, some of them are lecturers. So some of them inspire me. Some of them help me move forward. And I also do the same in their life. So it's been amazing, because when we were connecting, I didn't know where it would end and how. But I know that, of course, some of those people in the future will be running the country. So, and I hope that first years will connect, that it's not just about the degree. The degree is a piece of paper. They have to learn a whole lot of things, including saying hello to people they don't even know where they come from, just to network. And because that person can be their future boss or their wife or their husband or their a business associate, in a nutshell.
Yeah, most definitely. Another thing that really can demotivate one is not really passing the way you would have wanted to, right? Let's say you make all of those plans to say you're going to your UCTs, you're going to, you're going to Rhodes, or you're going to Northwest University, you're going to Wits, and then you find that you passed with an H. That doesn't grant you access to university. Then you probably have to go to a TVET college and the likes. Really, how frustrating can that be for one? And have you experienced someone maybe then, Wanama Fule, in your line of work coming to you to say that I find myself here? I need someone that would give me guidance in terms of how do I go about this, because I don't want to do nursing. I don't want to go to a nursing college. Mine is not to be a nurse. I want to be a scientist. I want to be this. I want to be that, you know. And these qualifications of mine, reality is they're not granting me access to where I should go. How does one then navigate this whole space?
Yes. Thank you, Carol. So normally in our work in FDA, every time when the matric learners receive their results, so we encourage approximately thousands of our volunteers that form part of FDA to go to their folks. Those working to lead, of course, students are available. So we tell them, when you go to the schools on the day of the matric, you're there to celebrate with those who have achieved great marks, and you're there to hug and comfort those who didn't do well and also help them to move forward. Like, so that to tell the students that university is not the only option, there's also college, there's also an opportunity to rewrite, and also depending which province you are, an opportunity to repeat. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when our colleagues go back to the school, they offer alternative support and they offer contact. So if someone is accepted, I'm giving an example, at DET, they will link the an FA volunteers that site. So we are there to say we are here for you. And not only as FDA, but as citizens of South Africa that are concerned, responsible and loving and showing compassion, spirit of Ubuntu. So I've had many of those in my life that we refer them to places where they can upgrade and rewrite, you know, or consider other options like TVET colleges, the other options that are out there. So because not everyone, of course, will go to university. So we do present that. Even this year, I'll give an example, Takeo. When the year starts, because the students are still at home, they are not busy. So they go to school and motivate the current crop of matric learners to say, be aware that you will need to pass very well to get to university. But we are not saying everyone should go to university. Be a singer. Practice every day and be the best singer. And then you would maybe be like Makazi or Cap Spaniards. But learn and work hard. We encourage everyone to be the best, you know, and to respect themselves and everyone and their craft. But to say we are here for you, if you would love to go to university, we are connected in every university. We're working hard this year to make sure that every college also of South Africa, we are there so that there's no way where we cannot intervene. In a nutshell,
brother. Yeah, no, I mean, really, at this point in time, that's when you should be seeking advice. You should be reaching out to ask for advice in terms of how do I navigate the space? Because I find myself here so as to not be really despondent, as to not be disappointed in yourself to a point where you're frustrated the whole year because you didn't really get your way. There are options. I love the fact that you mentioned the issue that you can rewrite. There are various options that one can explore when they are in this space. You can even change schools. We had a guest here who was just giving us a sense of what the options that are available for you when you did not make it. And one of the options was that you can rewrite, you can change schools and go to another school. You can go back to that particular school where you were studying to upgrade, but not particularly go back altogether, but just choose particular subjects that you're upgrading so that you can find yourself where you are. But important being the fact that you're not in a race with anyone here, you know. So that's where we get it wrong. We feel like 12 years of studying and then we are in a race, and we've always been made to be competitors, right? When we are in school and the likes, to a point where when one thinks about going back to school and go and be in that same class with the people that I considered as my juniors, then it's not going to fare well for me. But at the end of the day, the future is yours. Those people won't matter in a couple of years to come. Some of them, you won't even have connection with them if it's not through social media, Facebook and the likes, where they'll just be liking your statuses because you find yourself where you wanted to be. Another issue that really stresses us the most when the year starts like this is the issue of the fees, right? Universities every year, they hike fees. Just a couple of days ago, I reached out to you, Mafule, because I wanted a contact student leaders, SRC leaders from various universities, because I was doing a story on the issue of fees, that each and every year, universities, they hike fees with a certain percentage, right? I hear this year, if I'm getting it right, let me check my script because I scripted for TV. So every year you find that universities, they hike their fees. I'll tell you now what those proposed fees are for this year. So University of Wits, Wits University, they are basically going to be hiking their fees, their tuition fees, by 5%. And this is something that we saw play out as well. Let me just find a breakdown of those other ones as well, because this is a time where we see a lot of young people really, really frustrated by what is happening around them, really frustrated around the issue of the fact that there's no money, you know. We come from families that are disadvantaged. Our parents push to get us into school, for us to find ourselves where we are, but there's no money for us to push forward. So the University of Johannesburg, it's 7%, the proposed fee hike for this year. University of Venda is 6%, the proposed hike. University of Cape Town is 5.9%. Wits University is 5%. I know the University of Pretoria, the registration, they've hiked registration for undergraduates by 50%. It's just one of those things that is just frustrating. When you are a first year, you've always dreamed of going to this university. You're not getting really a response from NSFAS in terms of your application and you reaching out to them. And really, you're frustrated at this point in time because you're queuing there to register, not even knowing what your status is with NSFAS and the likes. Really, at this point in time, it can really be frustrating. I see those kind of people as well in your space, Sandile. Was it a seamless move for you? Mafule said that he got a bursary. For you, was it seamless, this process of finding yourself in that university where the fees are concerned?
I also got a bursary, so I didn't get to experience that, but I had a friend who got to experience that. And I guess also it goes back to the issue that the missing middle, like you, as you've mentioned, that NSFAS really doesn't take account of that. They didn't take account of the fact that the institutions increase university fees every single year. And if you say somebody falls within this a specific bracket that they can afford to take a kid to, or their parents can afford to take their children to school, but what about the fees that are increased annually? What if that parent has four kids to take care of and two other kids to take to an institution? So we see that not being accounted for, and it's something that breaks my heart, because as I said, one of my close friends in the previous year, she applied for a bursary, couldn't get it. She thought that she could afford to pay her fees, but turns out that there were fee hikes like usual. So what she did, which is the saddest thing, because I remember fighting with her and for her that I'm not about to lose my friend, or since I just gained a friend recently and I'm about to lose you because you can't pay your fees. And we were at a point whereby we looked for bursaries that can pay for at least the registration amount. And unfortunately, we couldn't get that, but we had to gather every single cent that we have and ask around to people to also help into at least paying for residence deposit and also registering just to get your modules. And everything else, we'll just see it during the year. And I remember during the year, we also had to do, what is it called again, this thing on social media where you ask for
crowdfunding.
Yes, crowdfunding. Thank you. So we also had to go out look for crowdfunding for people to assist, to at least pay, even if it's not all of the fees, but some of the fees. Fortunately enough, we had a couple of individuals donating certain amounts of money to pay for her fees. But even now, last year was her final year. She's graduating now, and she still has some outstanding fees, unfortunately. So we face this issue every single year, and unfortunately, we know of it, but also people who have the power to do something about it don't do much about it. And it saddens me that people cannot graduate and people cannot be employed, even though they've completed their qualifications, because there's a certain amount of fees that are outstanding and they couldn't pay for, because they anticipated that bursaries or maybe fees will be stagnant. But knowing university, as they say, that university is not a playfield, but it's a business. So we have to increase fees, and this is what we were told, that we have to increase fees because university at the end of the day, it's all about making money. And it saddens me, Katleho, honestly, because now this person, we're still trying to gather the little that we have to make sure that we pay the outstanding fees so that she can graduate in March. So it really is sad, and it's painful to see that sometimes at some point she couldn't even eat because she stresses about these outstanding fees and not knowing how she's even going to start paying for those fees. So it really is sad.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Not just for us as the young ones, but for our parents as well, because now they are stressed over the fact that you are here, you're looking to them, there's no money. But then, you know, you also have to go to school because of the fact that it's time for you to go to school. You've passed, but we find ourselves here. Mafule, how's it going on your end? Do you find yourself busier than usual around this time by helping people, especially where the issue of fees are concerned?
Yes, no, thank you. I think my brother, it's tough, and at times the messages are overwhelming because you will receive an essay, someone pouring their heart out, explaining their situations in terms of having outstanding fees from the past year, not having money for registration. And because as an organization, we do a whole lot of work on the ground. So it may seem as if we have money and people come to us asking for money, which is not what we do, you know. And because we are also reaching out to a lot of people, so it appears as if we can be in a position to fund or intervene in assisting students with the outstanding fees, registration fees, accommodation fees, and all. There are students who don't even have transport to move from where a township, I'm giving an example, in Davidton to get to UJ to register, for example, right? They need those kind of resources and many others. And so I'll be honest with you. This time is not easy because you are reminded that there's poverty in South Africa, there's lack, you know. And yeah, it's overwhelming, it's tough, it requires a lot of support even for some of us who are leading in this context, from people around us, our mentors, to say, this is what you should do, this is how you should go about it, you know. So for me, I'm like Sandile, who had a bursary then when I started first year, and I was fortunate throughout my studies, even in the U.S., I was funded by the U.S. government, and I was also getting a stipend for working until then I will return. But I'm still aware of the context of South Africa for other people, and it's not easy, and I hope that, like Sandile is suggesting, that leaders of South Africa will not see institutions of higher learning as just a business, but also as institutions for public good, you know, and finding innovative solutions around and ensuring that we enable students to graduate. Because if we enable them to start working, they can pay back their money. You know, Because how would I pay my money if I can't work because I don't have a degree?
Yeah.
You know, and I think our work beyond doing the groundwork on the ground is to find ways in terms of how do we contribute to policy and shifting and campaigns that will translate to students being able to graduate in instances where they have outstanding fees, but they have successfully completed their diplomas and or degrees.
Mm.
So there's still more work that needs to be done, but I think with leaders like Sandile and many other activists out there, there will be progress in this nation and there will be change, although change takes time.
You know, it sure does take time. And another issue is that of the historic debt, all right? So, like what Sandile is saying, that now you're worried as to are you even going to graduate and the likes, which is a reality for a lot of students. I was speaking to the VETS SRC president, and he was telling me about the historic debt that goes, I think, into billions owed to VETS University by students. And this year, the university, I don't know if it was the case as well last year, to say that before you can even register, you have to pay 50% of your debt. You have to settle at least 50% of your debt. So if you're owing the university 100,000 rand, you have to pay at least 50,000 rand up front for you to can register. People are caught between a rock and a hard place here because they don't have that kind of money to be paying off, but you find that someone is only left with two modules for them to complete. They need to go back to class so they can write and complete without any hindrance. Hence, they've started this fundraising campaign to say that they've come to an agreement with the Vice Chancellor to say that we are going to raise 1 million rand for the students that have historic debt, and we're going to pay that 1 million rand. You as a university, you also need to meet us halfway in, you know, ensuring that the students go back to class. And I think the university said it will also bring about 1 million rand into that bag so that at least that debt can be more or less taken down a bit and some people can be allowed to write. Are these some of those things that maybe student leaders need to be innovative enough to intervene where this is concerned, especially now when you find that people like your friend there, Sandile, how do you study when you're so stressed? You don't eat as well. You're stressed about the finances. You feel like the whole world is looking at you. You feel like your classmates see right through you to say that, well, kolota, you know what I mean? So how do you navigate that entire space? Really, it's a difficult one. But issues like crowdfunding, fundraising, is that the way to go? Mafule?
Oh, thank you so much. Those are alternatives, of course, that needs to be explored, but as options.
Mm-hmm.
But there should be many other, of course, options so that they are more accommodative. So, for example, there could be instances that people can work in the universities and do other things. And if, I'm just giving an example, they were supposed to get a certain amount, another amount goes to their debt and another amount goes for them for transport and lunch and to afford accommodation as a way of them paying back their debt. You know, because, for example, now, as you would imagine, there's a lot of hands that are needed for registration and many other administrative issues at universities as they welcome new students, right? So there has to be thinking around how do we ensure that students can pay historic debt, you know, who do we engage and how, you know, and how do we also engage stakeholders out there, for, you know, other stakeholders just contribute money to institutions without mentioning what it is for. So it, some of it could go to historic debt, among other things. But I think it rests upon young people to contribute to this conversation, but also to pragmatically engage stakeholders like the SRC at VETS is doing to say, these are our proposal on the table, but there should be more. and there should be more institutions being involved to contribute to healthy university environment financially for the students and, of course, for the well-being of the institution to continue to thrive and grow.
Yeah, I mean, universities also, that independence. I told you guys about me that I moved further from home in varsity, and it comes with responsibilities, right? Now you are independent, and no one is telling you what to do. If you had a curfew at home of 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, that curfew doesn't exist anymore. So you are your own boss, you are your own parent, you are your own guardian, and all of those things. How do I actually navigate the independence here in a way that I would not forget why I'm there at university in the first place? Mafule, you found love in universities. For others, it can be a little bit of a distraction when you're not used to all of that, embrace that you get from the next person. And others, you have now this leeway to drink from morning to night. You feel like, for the longest of time, I would ask to go out with my friends and go ride the would say, nope, that is dangerous, you're not going to do that. But now I have this liberty. I'm drinking, the money that I'm getting, the pocket money, I'm not going to class. The responsibilities that comes with being a first year, what should people look out for, especially when you are moving further away from home, where your parents don't even have access to you, to call you to order when you are basically in any way off-ramping here?
On my first class, I remember my lecturer said the three things that will make one feel the module that we were doing these are the three L's that will make an individual fail the module. He said the first one is love, the second one is lust, the third one is laziness. And I think people should be careful of these three things. Well, I know it's a different case with Mabula because he found love.
But the one L worked for him.
Definitely wasn't for him. But I believe that these three things can really delay an individual. Because laziness, we tend to say, man, I'm tired. We understand that you're tired, you need to rest. But also, you can't be sleeping over 8 hours while as you have a test to write within 3 days. It doesn't make sense. You can't be sleeping over 8 hours or 10 hours while as you have something to do at 5 to midnight. Planning is important. Planning your academics is crucial because you're there for academics. Nothing else but academics. Everything else, the student leadership, the fun that comes with it, the friendships, the clubbing, the sessions and everything, they come second because without academics, you wouldn't be able to do all of those things. So I think people should really prioritize academics. Planning is crucial. And when it comes to love, well, I don't have much to say about love because I didn't find love. I listened to my lecture and I've been wearing the orc love, so everything else has just been shut and I've just been focused on why I'm here. And I believe that also last, we tend to say we're living in the moment, we're young. Yes, you can be young, yes, you can make mistakes, but that doesn't mean those mistakes that you do might not affect you in the near future or the far future even. So we should be careful of and be aware that whatever we do today might also impact us in the coming years. So we shouldn't do things because all in the name of living the moment. It's nice to live in the moment, but also bearing in mind that the repercussions of living in the moment are not a danger to you or won't hinder you or stop you from completing your qualification in inverted commas record time or successfully completing your qualification and also graduating or being the first graduate at your home. Now you're coming back with bags and disappointing parents because you fell for one of these L's, unfortunately. But so I like to urge prospective first years, prospective students in general, to just avoid and the last one is later. The last L is later.
I heard you edit it there and I was like, you're splitting another L now.
I would like to add the last L. Later is one thing that we tend to fall for because Batswadi Khabaraboni and we have all this freedom. So let's be careful of alcohol. Learn when to take it. I'm not saying people shouldn't drink. I, for one, don't drink. Mm. But learn when to take it and when the right time is to take it and when it's not the right time to take alcohol.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I love the L's. You know what? I'm learning. And I, you know, one thing that I love about this show is that whenever I leave for home, I've learned something. You know, I've learned something. I just learned from Mafule when he was, you know, describing the show when he started. You know, I'm learning from you now on the four L's. Liquor, love, lust, laziness. Mafule, we lost you for a minute there. I suspect it's load shedding. Sandile mentioned the L's here. Liquor, love, lust, laziness, to say these are some of the things that you should be cautious of when you're doing your first year and going into university. What would be those other things for you that you reckon would really distract you from completing in record time if you are a first year and you're not careful?
All right. Thank you so much indeed. So for me, I think I've had a wonderful experience and time in institutions of higher learning to see students exploring different things, you know. Mm. But I would say people should find balance, you know. Mm. If, for example, you oversleep, so sleep is good, but if you oversleep, it will affect your academics. So even dating, you should do it in a way that you don't overdo it. All that you do is to be with your partner all the time. Mm. If you're playing sport, you shouldn't do too much sport. So you should balance and plan accordingly. And that will help you make progress. Mm. And people who were protesting at the time when we were at university, some became expelled, some are now in parliament. People dropped out and some became entrepreneurs and they are making it big in life. So there's no, what I can say, like hard rule or prescription to say this is really is the way to go. But I think what I would say is that for people to have mentors around them to guide them, for people who have been there for some time and who have graduated to say this is how we've traveled the journey and this is how you can follow on our path. It's easy that way. They'll let you know of the mistakes that have made, that have left them, that have that you wouldn't be doing again. And then it will make your path easy and you will succeed and achieve probably your wildest dreams in institutions of higher learning.
Yeah, I would say guard your space, all right? Because most of us really go astray because we associate ourselves with people that we were warned about when we were growing up. You see someone smoking marijuana, a weed, and then you now want to explore and then you find yourself in this space. See, you used to go to church. Instead of the first thing that you do when you get to university, finding a church and a space of faith, then you would rather know where the quickest bottle store is and the hours. They close at this time, they open at this time, you know, those kind of things. So I would say guard your space as much as you can. Be intentional about who you let into your space because really not everyone will be your friend and would want the best for you in university. And not everyone is there knowing your history. Don't forget where you come from, because when you forget where you come from, you can easily just be swayed left, swayed right, and then lose focus altogether. Just focus. Go to class. You're there to study.
Yeah.
You're there to get a qualification. Don't forget that, because if you keep reminding yourself of these things, of where you come from, you know, what or why you are there at that institution in the first place, where you'd like to see yourself, then really this is something that would keep you focused. But also, don't just look at university as just just that space where you can now wait for that qualification. Go and volunteer. Go out, start knocking, start doing all of these other things. That would more or less give you some sort of an edge. You know, I mean, I believe Sandile has an edge now because he's been on this show. You know, he knows all of these things. His mates might be wanting to find themselves on radio one day, but they're not, you know, taking all of those steps, doing all of the groundwork for you to really find yourself where you are. But again, don't be scared. This is the way of life. You know, it's a journey altogether. You're going to find yourself. You're going to discover yourself, what you like. Some of the things that you liked in high school, you're going to find them really boring now because you've grown. You know, don't find yourself weird. It's just the way of life. But be intentional about what you want out of that qualification, what you want out of that university, who you associate yourself with. Don't lose yourself in the process because really you can lose yourself high one and then that destroys your entire future. You know, you can be involved in drugs and then you get hooked just like that, you know, and then you find yourself now not even focusing on your studies, you drop out and then you end up really disappointing your family and your loved ones. Always remember that person that prayed for you to be where you are, and they are continuously praying for you to be where you're supposed to be. So don't lose yourself. Don't lose focus. Don't be scared. Ask, you know, for help. If you need directions, don't be shy to ask for directions, to ask for help. That doesn't make you a stupid person. It really sets you apart from the rest because you asked, right? And it will save you a lot of time. It will save you a lot of energy, but also extramural activities, some of those beautiful distractions. Join a debate team, join sporting activities, join church, join SCO, you know, join whatever, be planted somewhere because that would help you in finding that whole side of being responsible, all right? A responsible young person that is focused on really where you want to see yourself in years to come. I'm rushing into these things because we are out of time. Out of time. And I realize now that Kabelo, my guest, is on the line as we speak right now. But then what we're going to be discussing with Kabelo is something that is linked to the issues of tertiary education. Because Kabelo is coming through to just let us in on how one can make financially savvy choices while in tertiary, just to find yourself not in the receiving end when all of this is said and done. But Sandile, also wanted you to share, you know, where you are, what you find with the space that you find yourself with our listeners, the good news around the starting of this year, and why, you know, we're not hearing your voice on this platform. You promised, you know, Auslebu, Mama Lebu, that you'll come, and you are not here. You're back, Koskolong. Let us in on what is happening.
Well, I'm not back yet, Koskolong. I'm still at home. I'm going the other week. So I'll keep my promise. Sometime next week, I'll promise to pop up and I'll tell Power listeners everything.
Yay. Thank you very much. That would make me happy. You know, that would make me really happy. Mafule, you also must come to the studio sometime, man. We haven't seen you in a while. You must come to the studio and yeah, bring your partner. Make sure that you guys are here. No, not your partner in that sense. Oh, my God. No, I'm not talking about your partner in that sense, Mafule. Please, when you come through, just make sure that you come through and then you form part of this show. We'll discuss issues that involve young ones and we'll try by all means to thresh out other issues. Come through, Lesbusiso. You know, that's who I was talking about. Come through, Lesbusiso. let's talk about youth issues. But I really appreciate you guys coming through, being friends of the show, and just being trailblazers in the spaces that you find yourselves. This year is going to be a beautiful year. Mafule, I'm wishing you everything of the best with the organization. I know you guys are already hard at work as we speak right now. You know, we're counting those years. You said 10 years ago, it will be 11, it will be 20, it will be 29, will grow old, and the organization, because it was fit for purpose, will remain. So just lost Mafule there. But then Sandile, we'll see you next week. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
All right. Sandile Mahlangu coming through there. He is, of course, a BA communications student, a final year at the Northwest University of Technology. And Mafule, who just sent me a message now saying, awesome, brother. Thank you. I think it's the network. But you got the gist of what I was saying.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.